Like to bring this meeting of House Fisheries to order. It is February 26th, Monday at 8:55. And present are Representative Edmund, Representative Holmes, Representative Johansson, and Representative Seaton.
Happy
Chair.
Monday.
Thank you. And
comment?
Yes.
Going to business.
And today we will be hearing HER 4. Kenai Kasilov subsistence priority, and is there anything to come before the committee before we start?
Just one thing. A couple folks from Ketchikan in the room I want to introduce. Craig and Jeremy, real live fishermen in the Fish Committee. welcome you two to the committee. Thanks for coming. They're going to be in the building talking about dive fisheries. I just wanted to recognize them in the audience. Thank you.
Great. Appreciate that, and hope you'll come by because there are several dive fishery issues that we're working on. Anyone else have anything to come before the committee? Okay, and we will be checking on getting things arranged so that we can have start on time in the future. And we have before us HER 4, and the Representative Olson's staff is here to present the resolution. Good morning. Would you identify yourself for the record and go ahead and proceed?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Conrad Jackson, staff to Representative Kurt Olson. First, I'd like to thank the committee and you, Mr. Chairman, for your indulgence Friday on allowing me to back this up until today. But the resolution, HJR 4, that is before you today, was drafted to address the customary and traditional use determination by the Federal Subsistence Board, giving the residents of Nanilchik subsistence priority in the waters north of and including the Kenai River drainage within the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge and Chugach National Forest.
And let me interrupt for just a minute. Representative Johansson, we have a committee substitute before us. Could you?
I'll move version C of HJR number 4.
As our working document.
As the working document.
Thank you. So the version C is before us. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And frankly, Alaska Department of Fish and Game feels that in the initial version of the resolution, that determination was flawed. And the sponsor agrees with the opinion. The CS that you've just adopted makes a few changes. It adds, excuse me, it adds in a couple of other communities as well as some additional people that the copy of the resolution, once passed, would go to. The reason for this CS, there were some discussions with Representative Olson's office and the Department of Fish and Game, and it just seemed appropriate that the other customary and traditional use determinations that were made applying to the Kenai Peninsula just be rolled into the same resolution. And if I could read through just real briefly, Mr. Chairman, they pretty well seem to speak for themselves. Regarding the community of Nanilchik and for the Kenai or for the Kasilov River drainage, in Fish and Game's words, the reconsideration is required because in adopting the final rule, the board's interpretation of information, applicable law, or regulation was in error or contrary to existing law. In regards to the ruling that include Hope and Cooper Landing for the Kenai River drainage and waters north of the drainage, again, Fish and Game says reconsideration is required because in adopting the final ruling, the board's interpretation of information, applicable law, or regulation was in error or contrary to existing law, and because new information not previously considered by the board demonstrates that the board's determination was based on incorrect information and assumptions. And actually, this is actually kind of going backwards. This is from the request for reconsideration and the ruling that was listed in the initial resolution. This is dealing again with the community of Nanilchik and those waters in the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge and the Chugach National Forest. This also, in addition to the Kenai River, includes the Russian River, Swanson River, and various lakes and drainages. Turn the page here. Again, they state that the ruling was in error or contradictory to existing law. In addition, reconsideration is required because, in making its determination, the board assumed incorrect information, including unsupported speculation regarding fish stocks, resulting in a determination based on speculation. The board must instead consider real, factual information not previously considered by the board. In short, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, we would like to see the board take another look at these determinations and, I guess, to be real frank, follow their own rules and regulations in adopting them. This is not intended to argue for or against subsistence in these communities or any others. It's merely asking for reconsideration, that the board reconsider its actions and, I guess, play by the rules. Mr. Chairman, I don't believe I have anything else for you, really. Sarah Gilbertson from Department of Fish and Game is online, as well as a gentleman from the Department of Law. If the committee would like, I can go through each one of the changes in the CS, but I believe you've got a list of the amendments, the individual lines and where they apply.
Okay, thank you. And we do have, for the committee, just to make sure that everybody has it, we have the original sponsor statement, and then we have a map showing the area, and then we have a request for reconsideration of Federal Subsistence Board proposal FRFR 06-02-0308. And that's for Nanilchik. And then we have two other documents. One is a May 5th letter from the commissioner with essentially a request for reconsideration of that same. And we have a copy of the May 5th 06 letter for reconsideration of the Hope and Cooper Landing for Kenai River drainage areas. I guess I have one question. We have the working document before us. Does the sponsor feel that rolling these two things together, that is the Hope and Cooper Landing determination for the Upper Kenai, which is an area which is coincident with the Kenai River drainage, and rolling that and the Nanilchik, which is not within that, not located within the Kenai River drainage. Do you feel that there's going to be confusion of those two subjects, or will they be kept separate enough? It seems, I mean, I guess the question is, rolling them together, do you lose the clarity of the issue of Nanilchik being outside of the Kenai River drainage where this customary and traditional use is being determined versus the other subject of communities within that drainage using those fisheries resources?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. The short answer is, yes, I'm a little confused even myself, because you're actually dealing with three separate requests for reconsideration, one for Nanilchik River pointing towards Nanilchik residents pointing to the Kasilof River, Nanilchik residents pointing towards the Kenai River, Upper Kenai River, that area, and then Hope Cooper Landing for the Kenai River and drainages. So yes, I do admit that is a little bit confusing. And in talking with Sarah Gilbertson from Department of Fish and Game,
And she is online.
Yes. I ask a similar question. Are we sure we want to include Hope and Cooper Landing into this? Because it seems like they're right there. They're on those drainages. But there are problems with those determinations, the determination including Hope and Cooper Landing on the Upper Kenai River. So, yes, Mr. Chairman, it is a little confusing because you're dealing with the different communities and different drainages back and forth. But it boils down to some errors in our opinion, and more importantly, from the professionals at Department of Fish and Game, in their opinion, in making those rulings. So it just seemed appropriate that the board try to reconsider that at the same time.
Okay. And I just wanted to put that question mark out there since we have the CS before us so that other people as they're testifying can address that issue as well. Further questions for the sponsor? Seeing none, let's go to thank you very much,
Mr. Chairman.
Sarah Gilbertson, are you there online?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I am. Can you hear me?
Good morning. It's good to hear your voice again.
It's good to talk to you guys again. I miss you.
Well, if you would identify yourself for the record and go ahead with if Fish and Game has somewhat of a presentation to make, that would be fine. And then you heard my question, and if you'd address that as well, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, thanks. Well, for the record, this is Sarah Gilbertson. I'm the Subsistence and Federal Issues Coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. And I'll just give some brief remarks and background and then discuss the issue of including Hope and Cooper Landing in your resolution. The state of Alaska is deeply troubled by the recent Federal Subsistence Board decisions on the Kenai Peninsula, and those decisions granted the communities of Nanilchik, Happy Valley, Hope, Cooper Landing a subsistence priority on the Kisilas and Kenai River drainages. In particular, Nanilchik has a customary traditional use determination in the Kisilas River drainage and the Kenai River drainage, Hope and Cooper Landing have the federal board made determinations to give those communities customary and traditional use in the Kenai River drainage. Nanilchik has that customary and traditional use determination in both drainages, and Nanilchik is defined as including Happy Valley. So a number of decisions that have been made over the last year by the Federal Subsistence Board to grant these communities those customary and traditional use determinations, and the state has filed over the last year several requests for reconsideration appealing all of those decisions. And the resolution that you have before you, in particular, the committee substitute, is consistent with a major subject of the state's most recent appeal and also the previous appeals. And I believe you have the January 2007 appeal in front of you. By way of background, under state law, these communities that I just mentioned are regarded as non-rural in nature. They're part of the Anchorage, Matsu, Kenai non-subsistence area. The Federal Subsistence Board, on the other hand, regards these communities as rural. Even though they're surrounded by non-rural communities and connected to those communities by one of Alaska's main highway systems, the federal board has concluded that these communities have a customary traditional priority right to use the fish in the Kenai and Kisilas River drainages. Now, the state has been arguing that the board did not base its decisions on evidence that fulfilled the 8 criteria required by federal regulation for making those customary and traditional use determinations, and those 8 criteria are outlined in the request for reconsideration that you have before you. For example, the federal regulations require a community to demonstrate a consistent, long-term, customary, traditional pattern of consistent use by that community of that fish resource on federal lands. And in making these determinations, the federal board ignored and misused the available data, indicating that at most a very small percentage, up to 7% of the Nanilchik residents, had fished for any type of fish in this area of the proposed subsistence fishery in a study year. Even fewer Nanalchik residents, maybe 2 to 3%, reported they had fished for any resident species of fish, like trout, in that area. This data did not demonstrate the consistent long-term pattern of community use that's required under those federal regulations. The board also neglected to take several factors into consideration, such as the changing demographics of the community of Nanalchik, the impact that Nanalchik's connection to the available road system has on use levels and the type of use, which we found is mainly sport fishing. They did not take into consideration Nanalchik's access to and more common use of local fisheries, mainly in marine waters closer to home down near Nanalchik, historical tribal use areas, which do not include the Upper Kenai River area. And finally, the board did not consider the listed purposes of the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge, which does not include subsistence, but instead emphasizes fish and wildlife recreational pursuits. Considered collectively as a whole, these factors to us, to the Department of Law and Department of Fish and Game, and the general state of Alaska, do not appear to support a long-term, consistent, recurring pattern of community use as required under federal regulations. The state is extremely concerned that Cook Inlet fisheries are already fully allocated and that the board's decision will eventually result in unnecessarily restricting existing established uses. And most of you are familiar with those uses. They're commercial fisheries, sport fisheries, personal use fishing. The Kenai and Cook Inlet in particular are very popular and fully utilized and allocated fisheries. The state is also concerned that the federal board does not consistently apply the 8 criteria that are in federal regulation with substantial evidence as required by regulation before making customary traditional use determinations. We're concerned that the federal board does not consider impacts of its decisions on other beneficial uses as required by the Ninth Circuit Court. We're concerned that the federal board has not adopted and applied specific criteria and regulation for implementing restrictions or closures on state-authorized fisheries. And finally, we're concerned that the federal board does not adequately consider conservation concerns when it implements federal subsistence priorities. So that concludes my prepared remarks, but I did want to address the chairman's question about the inclusion of Hope and Cooper Landing. And maybe just in the context of the decisions made over the last year, the state feels it is appropriate to include these communities. And I understand if you're not familiar with or intimately involved in the debate and the decisions and the issues over the last year, you know, it might seem logical that Hope and Cooper Landing, given their geographical proximity and closeness to the Kenai River, would demonstrate some sort of use, or that it would seem logical that, sure, those folks have fished there. But when you're talking about the Federal Subsistence Board and federal regulations actually require that these 8 criteria be met. And so that those two communities, for example, demonstrate a long-term consistent pattern of community use of those resources. And from the state's perspective, we did not feel that the Federal Subsistence Board adequately addressed those 8 criteria, and that their conclusion was ever really, I guess, based upon facts or numbers or anything that indicated the criteria outlined in federal regulations. So as Conrad eloquently stated, it's not about the problem that the state has with these decisions is not one of anti-subsistence. The problem is largely procedural in nature, and that is that the Federal Subsistence Board, in making these decisions on the Kenai Peninsula to grant these communities the subsistence priority, did not follow federal regulation. And so from that perspective, I think it is appropriate to include those other communities in your resolution, and would encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there questions for Fish and Game, and that is Representative Edgman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sarah, is this set of circumstances been in terms of the Federal Subsistence Board allegedly not following their own regulations, but has this been the case elsewhere in the state? Has this happened in other regions in Alaska?
Through the chair, Representative Ekman, thank you for that question. I was hoping someone would ask that. Yes, it's a troubling situation. The state has been asking, and it's not just, you know, over the last several years. It's actually been much longer than that since the inception of this Federal Subsistence Board in Alaska. We've been asking the federal board to follow its regulations, to follow court direction, and to come up with some written policies and procedures for making these important decisions, because this federal priority, is, as most of you probably know, is the first thing. And so if you have a population that you're looking at or you're looking at allocation, first the federal priority needs to be provided for. And then the state can then allocate through the boards of fisheries and boards of game whatever's left after that. And so these decisions are important, and they impact all Alaskans. And so in that light, because in some cases where you might not have very vibrant or large populations or stocks, you could be restricting other uses or in fact shutting other Alaskans out of these hunts and fisheries. So it's important that those decisions be made upon fact, that they be, you know, in making those decisions that the federal board follows its regulations, and that Alaskans can look at this federal board process, see one that's transparent and one that's predictable and consistent over time. And we've had several problems all around the state with the federal board, and as I was explaining to Conrad when we were discussing this resolution, we file several requests for reconsideration and appeals with the Federal Subsistence Board every year. So we are challenging a number of their decisions made around the state. We just went to court challenging a decision that they made dealing with moose in Unit 12 near Chistochina, where it's the same kind of situation where the decisions are not made in accordance with federal regulation, and therefore, you know, we end up challenging them. So thank you for the question. It is a problem for the state, and anything that this legislature can do to help would be greatly appreciated.
Thanks, Sarah. Other questions? Representative Johansson.
Sarah, how does the subsistence folks over there decide which decisions to basically fight? Is it do you have a structured review of all of the federal decisions, or is it kind of a squeaky wheel sort of situation, or how do you guys do that?
Through the chair, Representative Johansson, we have a state liaison team that's in place. I'm currently the lead on federal subsistence issues for the state. I work very closely with the commissioner's office, all of our directors, and my liaison team follows these issues basically on a full-time basis. And that team consists of representatives from all of our divisions. So there are a number of us who are working on these issues full-time, and we work very closely with the Department of Law. And, you know, we understand the federal regulations and law. And in areas where, you know, we see a problem, we do raise those issues, not just in filing appeals or lawsuits, but also in our conversations with our federal counterparts and in letters and correspondence back to the Secretary of the Interior. So, you know, it's difficult to say. Basically, we're following all of this very closely. And there are a number of methods and means by which we challenge these decisions. It's not always an RFR or court case. So we're on top of it. I don't know how to answer the question other than, you know, we monitor these very closely, and we're happy to work with you all anytime you all have concerns on issues.
Okay. Final follow-up, Representative Johansson.
Thank you. Thank you for that, Sarah. A different question. Has the state stepped in to defend existing areas that have basically the opposite situation is going on here? You go through quite a few different decisions. Has it been, I guess, how many have gone the other way? I mean, does the state step in to defend areas that were rural that have gone to non-rural? Does that happen very often?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Representative Johansson, I did know that that you have had questions and raised questions in previous hearings with Fish and Game staff on the question of Saxman and Ketchikan, and did make an effort to get in touch with your office to talk to you about that. And I'm happy to talk to you about that, you know, after this hearing or at any time when you have some time. But, you know, we were very concerned, the state was, the Department of Fish and Game, Department of Law, with the entire process that the federal board went through in this last go-around in their decennial review of whether or not communities are rural or non-rural. And there again, the state did not necessarily take a position of whether or not a community should be rural or non-rural, but we strongly urged the board to follow federal regulations and to follow its process. And we had real problems with the federal board. We felt in a number of cases that they did not follow their process. And we made those concerns. You know, I was in the media. We wrote a lot of letters. We talked to our federal counterparts. We let D.C. know that we were concerned about what was going on. So, you know, we did not in particular, you know, take issue or get involved in the question of whether or not Saxman should be rural or non-rural or grouped with Ketchikan. But there again, we strongly urged the board to follow its process and federal regulations, and we did not feel throughout that process that they did that.
Representative Hansen, is that?
That's okay. Thank you, Sarah.
Sarah, I had a question here. On our maps, it doesn't show Happy Valley anywhere, and so would you describe whether Happy Valley is closer to the Kenai or further away than Nanelchik, since we're rolling that into this resolution here, or we're specifying it in the resolution?
Sure, Mr. Chairman. Happy Valley is very close to Nanelchik, and as I understand it, Mike Seawright is here with me from the Department of Law. But the Federal Subsistence Board, when they're talking about Nanelchik, they're also talking about Happy Valley.
The two communities are in the same census area. This is Mike Seawright.
Excuse me. Would you identify yourself for the record first?
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Mike Seawright, through the chair. The two communities, Nanelchik and Happy Valley, are in the same census area, so they're treated by the Federal Subsistence Board as essentially the same community for subsistence, federal subsistence purposes, including determinations of rural and non-rural. They're very, very close to each other in proximity.
Okay. Just as this resolution goes along, there should be probably, since we've got it in there, there should be a map that shows where Happy Valley is, since we're identifying it as a community here. Mr. Seawright, while you're on there from the Department of Law, one thing was brought up tangentially about the question of the Kenai Wildlife Refuge and it not having subsistence within its goals. And we had a letter from Mr. Les Palmer and response from Marine Clark, Public Affairs Specialist, the U.S. Wildlife Service. Do you also have that analysis of those, of that question, and would you address that as far as whether Fish and Game or the state of Alaska believes that settled law or not?
Mike Seawright again from the Department of Law. We do not have that.
Okay, well, I will.
Either analysis that you're referring to or the letter you're referring to.
Okay, we'll get it to you so that you have it as well. We'll go on then and come back to that at a later time, but if you would look at that and be able to address it for us, that would be helpful. Any other questions here before we go to the public other public testimony? Let's go to Rod Arno. Rod, are you online, and would you identify yourself and who you're representing?
Yes, Chairman Seaton, can you hear me? This is Rod Arno, Executive Director of Alaska Outdoor Council.
We sure can. Go ahead, Rod. Appreciate your testimony.
Thank you and the committee members for hearing this. This is a resolution. This is something that's near to dear to the Outdoor Council's membership and has been for over 16 years as we had these same kind of conflicts with the Federal Subsistence Board on game management issues. It's nice to see fisheries coming into it now. The AOC does support passage of this resolution. One of the things in the CS, where the copies were going to be sent to, you know, originally it was to be sent to the congressional delegations, and AOC feels they should be at the first of the list because they're the ones that are going to have to change this. There's problems that Outdoor Council feels in the rural determination for the Kenai Peninsula that the federal land managers adhere to. The state of Alaska considers all of central Kenai a non-subsistence area. The federal land managers now, with their fisheries takeover of subsistence on the Kenai and the Kisilov, are, you know, clearly showing the conflict of subsistence users in areas that aren't necessarily of the rural characteristics, that the federal rural determinations just went through their 10-year review this last year, and it's interesting, and I'll read from that there were no changes in rural non-rural status for communities or areas were proposed for either Bristol Bay, Yukon, Kuskokwim Delta, Western Interior Alaska, Seward Peninsula, Northwest Alaska, or the Eastern Interior Alaska Council regions. And the reason is that in those rural areas that the federal subsistence law is not having the conflicts that it is on the Kenai Peninsula, that the Kenai Peninsula is unique for all of the refuges, and the fact that the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge is the only one that subsistence use is not one of the priorities. Instead, opportunities for fish and wildlife orientated recreation are. And also significant on the Kenai Peninsula is that with the creation of the Kenai Fjords National Park, it was the only newly created national park that there was no subsistence priority use on also. So the Outdoor Council feels that the concerns on the Kenai have to do with the rural, non-rural determinations, and we would appreciate that anything that the legislature could do to press our congressional delegation to get those issues cleared up. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. Does anyone have a question for Rod? Thanks for coming in and giving your testimony. Ricky Geese, are you online?
Yes, I am.
And if I didn't pronounce your name right, forgive me, but would you go ahead and identify yourself and your who you're representing for the record and proceed with your testimony?
For the record, my name is Ricky Geese. I'm the Executive Director of Kenai River Sport Fishing Association, a nonprofit 501c3 fishery conservation organization here on the Kenai Peninsula. I'll direct my comments in a couple different areas here that I think you need to be aware of as a legislature. One is the evidence presented to the board, the justification used specifically by Mike Flegel, the new chair of the Federal Subsistence Board, had to do with a novel concept of fish stocks. Basically, the rationale was that residents of Nanilchik and Happy Valley fishing off their beaches down there were actually fishing on fish stocks that moved into federal lands. And so when we looked at the 8 criteria, they didn't have to qualify for C&T. The experience didn't have to be on federal lands. It could be accumulated on state lands. Now, that is a radical reinterpretation of the concept of fish stocks and what qualifies for C&T. That concept in and of itself should raise hairs on the back of everybody's head, because that means that any stock that anywhere in Alaska is fished on, and that same stock goes into federal lands, you then qualify as a subsistence user. You don't have to qualify on federal lands. That qualification can be done on state lands. The eight criteria, when the board considered the eight criteria, they kind of told us during the meetings that they really didn't have to follow the eight criteria. It wasn't important to have policies and procedures in place, and they weren't followed. One of the policies and procedures in place was showing a consistent pattern of use. And what was done last November was to show, another novel approach was to say, well, maybe we don't have to show through the Department of Subsistence testimony by Dr. Fall, who did in the ADF&G Subsistence Department, showed that the levels that Sarah Gilbertson mentioned earlier, 2 or 3% per year on a yearly basis, we didn't really need to consider the yearly basis. We could consider just, has anybody ever fished up there in their lifetime? And so even on that question, there was about 28% of any resident in Inilchik had at any point in their life had fished in the Kisilov or Upper Kenai drainage. Well, you could get those same numbers going down to Walmart and Anchorage. You know, have you ever fished on the Kenai Peninsula? In fact, you may get higher numbers than 28% of all Anchorage residents, seeing that about 30,000 people come down from Anchorage per weekend in the fisheries in the summertime. Now, the problem that where I think starts to come up is that if we don't hold the feet to the fire of the federal government on policies and procedures, you start to get creep everywhere else in the decision-making process. Just like Rod pointed out, in terms of rural, non-rural determinations, what are the policies and procedures? We don't have policies, procedures for methods and means, for what is the meaning of meaningful priority in terms of methods and means. And there's, in addition, no policies and procedures to date for extraterritorial closures, meaning that if residents in Inilchik on the upper Kisilov River don't, quote, feel that they're getting their opportunity to catch Chinook salmon in July, we could have closures that would affect both the sport and commercial and personal use fisheries outside of the federal lands. So when you play loose with your policies and procedures, it encourages people to play loose with their policies and procedures in other decisions. This is the case in Unit 12 that Sarah talked about with the C&T determination. We have the exact same questions here on the Kenai Peninsula for that. But what's interesting, I think, from a state side is what the feds said about the ability of the state to file suit on behalf of its citizens. If you can believe it, the federal argument put in the C&T for the Chistatina case says that we as a state cannot sue on behalf of its citizens. Now, the state doesn't have a substantive interest in that issue and can't sue on behalf of its citizens. That's crazy. That's absolute lunacy. But that's the legal opinion that's driving some of these decisions from the federal level. And I just have a couple suggestions for action steps on behalf of the legislature. I do hope you approve this HJR 4, but I also hope that you follow up and encourage the Department of Law to file a lawsuit if the request for reconsideration is denied, because that's been the case in the three other requests for reconsideration that the state has brought forth. And we are at the point for legal action here. And I also do hope that we do get an action plan for a congressional delegation to clean up what on the Kenai Peninsula. Clearly, when Anilka was enacted, the Kenai Peninsula with Kenai Fjords and with the establishment of the Kenai National Wildlife Refuge was not intended for subsistence. Thank you.
Thank you, Ricky. Does anyone have questions? Appreciate you bringing up those very specific things about novel interpretations and questions about changes in the way things are being done. Andy.
Come on.
Sorry.
Sesney.
Sesney.
Just like it's spelled.
Ah. go ahead, Andy. Would you go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and who you represent and proceed with your testimony?
My name is Andy Sesney. I'm representing myself. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the last 22 years, my wife and I have run a fly fishing business on the Upper Kenai River. This proposed subsistence area has one of the highest sport fishing uses in the state of Alaska. Thousands of people daily utilize that area. I applaud Representative Olson's resolution. The state of Alaska already gives ample opportunity for the community of Nanilchik to use its custom and traditional use with its educational fisheries out in Cook Inlet. I just spent three full days on methods and means on a subcommittee for this proposed subsistence fishery. And there's one thing I did get out of 3 days of that meeting. In the future, we are going to have grave, grave problems. So I really urge you to approve this resolution. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And in a question here, the CS that we have before us adds Hopper and Cooper Landing determination. Is your testimony, it seemed to be on the Nanilchik portion, is your testimony on the Hope and Cooper Landing determination as well?
I'm on the Cooper Landing Fish and Game Advisory Committee, and pretty much our consideration with this is we really didn't even want the determination in Cooper Landing. So I think that all of them should be included.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Ron Rainey, or does anyone else have any questions? Ron Rainey, are you there in Soldotna?
Yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman. Yes, I am, and my name is a lot easier to pronounce. Mr. Chairman, as you know, my name is Ron Rainey, and I'm a resident of the Kenai Peninsula. I've lived on the Kenai River for 22 years, and I participated in fish politics in the state of Alaska for almost that many years.
And Ron, are you representing yourself or Kenai River Sport Fishing Association?
Well, I guess Kenai River Sport Fishing, because I'm an immediate past chairman of the organization, in fact, for the last 3 years.
Okay, thank you.
In the fish politics of Alaska, it really does get sticky at times. And, boy, if you want to make it a little more sticky, put subsistence in it. And this is the greatest stretch of the imagination for C&T that I've observed. Maybe there's some others, but I just don't know about all of them. And I think this, the OSM, the Office of Subsistence Management, has totally ignored the 8 criteria for determining C&T. It's just flagrant the way they choose to accept some ideas on subsistence and completely ignore the guidelines of how they're to make the determinations. And so a resolution like this may go a long ways in waking someone up. I strongly support this resolution, and I do, as Department of Law and Sarah Gilbertson and Ricky have said, I strongly support legal action to correct some of the ills that have gone on in the past. And we need to wake up to the fact that subsistence in some areas, including the Kenai Peninsula, is out of control. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if I can.
Thanks, Ron. Does anyone have any questions? Appreciate your testimony there. And we have one other public member listed here, Doug Blossom. Are you online?
Hello?
Hello, Doug. We can hear you. Would you go ahead and identify yourself?
Okay. My name is Doug Blossom. I've lived on the Kenai for right at 60 years. I sit on the South Central Rack that has to divide and take care of all this mess. And, you know, I just got a chance to see this resolution a couple days ago, and I guess I would respectfully ask you to pull it out and redo it if you're going to put it in. And here's why. Title 8 of ANILCA says we have priority for rural. The federal government has made these areas rural, and what your resolution does is it separates out one rural community from the others. I still have to deal with Cooper Landing and Hope and give them subsistence fisheries in this area. So, you know, I see you taking the one community and putting it out. You know, it doesn't send a message. And I guess I would back up and say that, Mr. Chairman, if you remember the one time, and you're the only one that's ever sat in front of our RAC, I asked you that question, what is the state doing about the federal subsistence law? And you said nothing. And that is the crutch of the whole problem. You know, we went to war in Iraq, and now a lot of people don't like it. But it's the same as this subsistence issue. We're there. Some of us have to deal with this law the way it is. So don't take communities and divide them up. I think you folks need to work with the federal people and change this whole mess so that it's consistent. I mean, I'm seeing the same problem in Southeast, on their RAC. The federal rules are different than state, and until we address that problem, all this resolution does is say, Nanelchik, you're no good, but Cooper Landing and Hope, you go right ahead and catch these fish. So I hope I've made the point that I have to deal with this sitting on the RAC, and the problem is the federal law is, to me, is wrong, and the state law is right, but we don't get at changing it with a resolution like this. Thank you.
Thank you, Doug. Just for clarification, do you have the, you probably don't have the committee substitute in front of you there. No,
Mr. Chairman, and I tuned, they got me on late, so I didn't hear all the testimony, right.
Oh, okay. The committee substitute adds a request for reconsideration of the Hope and Cooper Landing determination as well. So we'll get you a copy of that, of this resolution.
But there again, see, this same process is flawed just as terribly in Southeast or Interior. Until you address the problem, all this is doing is kind of like the Democratic majority did in Washington, D.C. They said we don't like the war in Iraq. But until then, ones like me, we have to live with this law the way it is and try to determine what to do with it. And I'm a commercial fisherman, so that's letting you know where I stand. But you need to work on the federal part of it, and it's the same all over. It's not just this spot. So think about that very carefully before you craft your final resolution.
Okay, thanks. And Doug, you are the only person we've had testify so far that's been on the RAC. So I guess, and would you, for the record, tell us what RAC stands for?
It's the South Central or Federal South Central Advisory Committee. We take the proposals up from the people, and we go through, and then we advise the federal board of what we think should be done.
Okay, so
they are the regulators, and we just we're kind of like a state advisory committee. You know, you have them all over the state, and we advise the like we board of fish and board of game.
Okay, and I guess you know one of the big questions that's come up in testimony here and in some of the paperwork we have is whether the federal board has been following its guidelines and regulations. Has the, I guess that's Regional Advisory Committee, RAC, is that correct?
Right. Well, what happens there, Mr. Chairman, is quite often we ask the federal legal counsel to define, and they will tell you, for instance, that they don't have to have a, if they have any past history of fishing in a system or hunting in an area, they have a priority. They have a C&T finding. They say it doesn't have to be a certain percentage. And you know, because I've asked them many a time. I get their legal counsel up there, and this is the federal legal counsel. Now, if they're wrong, so be it, but I can't prove they're wrong. And they showed that prior to 50 years ago, the community of Nanelchik fished on the Kenai River. And there again, we can't use these educational nets. For my part, I can't use their educational fisheries as a subsistence fishery. It isn't. And they warn us not to use that. That's not subsistence. That's a personal use. And we have all these rules and regs that we have to follow. And so we try to march down the street and try to be fair. But until you change these federal laws to more mirror the state laws, we've got a problem all over the state. It's not just here. So I hope you don't just pick on one area, because that just muddies the water.
Well, thanks on that, Doug. However, you know, we're pretty well limited. We don't get to change federal law from sitting here in the state legislature. But, you know, the purpose of this resolution is to raise some questions. And I wanted to, we had testimony earlier that there's been about three things that have changed in the interpretation. And one of them was this idea that you didn't have to show customary and traditional use as being some continuous use, but just if anyone from that community ever utilized the resource. Is that pretty well what the federal lawyers told you guys on the regional advisory committee?
Well, the big issue there is that in the last, well, since statehood or in the last, you know, about 50 years or whatever, subsistence has been eliminated on the Kenai. And so their anthropologists have done a lot of their studies prior to that date, and they come forward with these studies that prior to 50 years ago they used fish and game on the Kenai, you know, and so that's what we have to go by according to the federal legal advisors.
Okay, that was the one thing. The other thing that was brought up, and I thought you alluded to it, was that you said that the federal legal advisors said that if anybody from that community had ever used the resource, not that it had to be an ongoing or continuous. Is that correct?
That is correct, because in the recent history, subsistence has been eliminated. And so they go back to when it was a method, and that's where a lot of their studies come from, and we're required to look at that.
Okay, and another point that was brought up was that they were advised that fish usage on state lands could qualify for a federal subsistence priority. And I guess my question is, and again, not just using it as an example, not picking on anyone, does that mean that if down in, let's say, southeast here, if fish went by Metlakatla and they were destined for the Taku or Stikine or whatever river it is, that would mean that if they harvested them in the nets off the beach and not in the river system itself, that means that there would now be a traditional and customary use of the fish in the watershed? Is that the interpretation that I'm getting?
No, I think it's different than that.
Okay.
Let's go back to here, because it's easier to explain here. If, you know, as the legal advice from the federal comes down to us, if they could not get enough, like I heard earlier, king salmon in the federal land in the Kasilof River, for instance, they could curtail fishing downstream into state waters to make sure they get enough there. I never heard this statement heard earlier that because they fished out in the inlet, that gave them a right. It's the other way around. If, for instance, we don't give them any fish in the Kasilof in this upcoming session, and we say there isn't any for them, they probably have the legal right under federal to curtail fishing downstream into state waters to make sure they get fish up there. And that's what is happening all over the state, and it's going to get worse. So no, the interpretation I hear you saying isn't right. That isn't what they tell us.
Okay, so they're not basing the net fishery off of Nanilchik intercepting Kenai River fish is why they were then given traditional and customary use of the watershed of the Kenai River.
No, the reason we determined that they had a CNT finding there is the fact that many years ago their anthropologist, Pat Petroselli and her crew, determined that indeed Nanilchik community had fished up the Kenai River to Skelak Lake. And there again, she wasn't required to show how much participation there was, but there was. And because there was, that makes it hard for us to do anything but give them CNT.
Okay, thanks. Are there any other questions for Doug Blossom? Thanks, Doug. Appreciate you calling in.
Yeah, I just wanted to weigh in because I'm one of the ones that has to sit and try to weigh this out. And the help we need is that the federal and state law are so far different that that's where the change needs to be made.
Well, we can appreciate that. That's been around for a while.
Okay, thank you much.
Thanks again. Let's see. Sarah Gilbertson, are you still on there?
Yes.
Sarah, would you see any problem in addressing this a little differently in the resolution? I guess what I'm concerned about, and I'll just share it with you first as background, is that often, citizens write in a comment on a regulation or on a bill, whether federal or state, and they'll write a number of different points, and then the agency is only required to respond to one of the points, and then they've responded to the comment. And so people get very frustrated when they have some very significant things that they're addressing and they happen to put in one thing of minor significance and then the federal agency addresses that item of minor significance and then they can say they addressed the comment completely. And I'm a little worried that the way that the CS is, where it combines everything into one, that it appears as one issue. And would there be any problem with Fish and Game from putting in the part about Nanilchik and Happy Valley and then saying, and further reconsider its decision regarding the subsistence fishing priority for Hopper and Cooper Landing residents? Does that, separating those two things so that we have two different reconsiderations there, did that bother you at all?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. It doesn't bother me. I guess I just would know. I mean, you all can address this issue however you want. I'm just happy that you're talking about it. But the one thing I would note is that the state already did file requests for reconsideration on Hope and Cooper Landing, and those have, for all intents and purposes, I think, been officially denied. So if you, Department of Law is shaking their head at me. So however you want to handle it, if you want to separate those issues, I think that, it's just as strong, and it sends a signal that you're concerned. So, Mike Seawright, anything to add?
Mike Seawright with the Department of Law. Addressing that question, really those, in our view, the Federal Subsistence Board basically sidestepped those prior requests for reconsideration regarding Cooper Landing and Hope. They didn't directly address them, so in this latest request for reconsideration, the one dated January 16, 2007, although we primarily focus upon the Nanilchik Happy Valley situation with regard to the Kenai River drainage, we also asked the board to directly address those prior requests for reconsideration
relating to Ninilchik and Happy Valley C&Ts on the Kosilof River drainage, including Tustamina Lake, and also the board's prior customary and traditional use determinations are priority use determinations for Hope and Cooper Landing on the Kenai River drainage in the waters north of that area. Also, I might add that Hope is fairly distant from the Kenai River drainage, certainly as compared to Cooper Landing. And, of course, the Cooper Landing situation has already been addressed, including in the comments of the gentleman who is a member of the advisory committee saying that Cooper Landing didn't want that designation.
Okay, thanks. And while we have you on here, Mr. Seawright, there were three things that were brought up in testimony. One was a question of a novel interpretation of how C&T qualifications on federal land could come from use of state lands. Is that, I didn't see that as one, as a major point in your reconsideration request. Is that in there, or is that the case, or what's your interpretation of that?
Well, first I would like to make sure I understand the question. Would you repeat that?
Sure. We had testimony that said that the federal board has proposed a novel interpretation of granting customary and traditional use of a watershed, a federal watershed area, and giving subsistence priority in that on those federal lands when the use was not established on the federal lands, but use of fish that might going into that watershed was established on state lands. And I'm at, and what I'm trying to do is find out, is that a novel determination that has changed now so that you don't have to show customary and traditional use of the fishery resource on federal lands to get a customary and traditional determination on those lands. So is that clear enough?
Yes, it is. I do understand the question. And actually, I thought that's what you were referring to, but I wanted to make sure. That point, number one, we do consider it novel. Secondly, the request for reconsideration did address that proposition. What happened was, toward the very end of the board proceedings relating to the issue of, well, that resulted in a determination of customary and traditional use for Ninilchik on the Kenai River drainage, Russian River, et cetera, it was an analysis at the very end of the board's deliberations to the effect that when we're talking about, and this is how some board members phrased it, but it was the analysis went, well, when we're talking about the fish that are in the Kenai River, really we're talking about fish coming from Cook Inlet. It could be said, and these are pretty much the words of the board, it could be said that the fish in the Ninilchik River and Deep Creek and Kosilof River and Kenai River are really all the same stock. They come from the Cook Inlet. Therefore, we should be focusing on the stock and whether it has been customarily and traditionally used wherever, meaning if it were used close to the Ninilchik, say in front of the in the marine waters in front of the Ninilchik River or in the Ninilchik River itself, if one considers them all the same stock, then the community should be allowed to fish the stocks in the upper Kenai. There was no evidence presented on whether that supposition, and we refer to it specifically in the request for reconsideration as speculation,
There was no evidence that that was indeed the case, and we do not believe it is the case. These are separate stocks of fish. And yet the board, by its comments and comments while various members were voting, accepted that speculation. That is specifically a point of contention in the request for reconsideration. It's summarized at page 2 and then discussed in greater depth at page 9, for example, at page 9 of that request for reconsideration, including presenting quotes from various board members that set out their reasoning, if you want to call it that. Does that address your point?
It does. I just want to make sure, I mean, I could see a, like I mentioned before, a huge impact. I think that hopefully that's more directly addressed because as I had talked with Doug Blossom when he was a member of the Regional Advisory Committee, it seemed like that theory would say then that if there were fish that passed by and were harvested offshore at Metlakatla, then wherever those fish were bound to, then the residents of whatever place had that subsistence priority could then claim traditional and customary use of in the headwaters of those river systems to where those fish are bound. And I'm not particularly picking on that. It's just as down here in southeastern, and it seems like a it seems like if that procedure would give everything a real new twist. So I would like to I'd hope that as this goes forward you concentrate on defining whether that is a is going to be allowed to be the interpretation that is used or not. Another point that was brought up was, has everyone, you know, has anyone ever fished in the area versus some kind of continuous use? And do you also challenge that as being the standard for customary and traditional use?
I think Ms. Gilbertson is going to address that.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we do address that in the RFR. We talk about, you know, the fact that at any point in their lifetime, up to, I think the highest number was 7% of residents saying Nunilchik had ever fished on the Kenai. And so to us, we feel that the Federal Subsistence Board needs to follow those 8 criteria outlined in federal regulation. And those 8 criteria, in our view and in our interpretation, do not allow for just one person in the community to abuse that resource, and therefore then you're allowing this priority. And that is indeed the interpretation of federal staff. I've sat in meetings with them where they've said that, you know, because one person has historically gone, you know, say sheep hunting, that then there should be a customary traditional use determination or a priority for that community on that sheep population. And so to us, it's somewhat frightening. It's not in line with their federal regulations, and so we'll continue to challenge them on that point.
And could you tell us what page of your document that is talked about specifically?
I'm looking for it right now. This is Mike Seawright again.
We could get back to you with that.
Get back to us on that. I guess, let's see, and does anyone else have any questions for Mike? We're about to our end of our time here, and we will bring this up again under scheduled and heard bills and resolutions. One other thing that we might just put on the record now that we'll be looking for an amendment to the second page here so that we designate that these copies be sent by electronic as well as hard copy means. Does anyone else have any other further questions that they want to bring up this time? Representative Johansson.
Are you intending to amend that one? If you're intending to amend that section we were talking about, I'd like to know what the sponsor thinks about splitting those communities out into two different whereases.
Sure.
If we have a second.
Conrad, you. And we are at our end of our time here, so, you know, we can also talk with the sponsor between times so they have, you know, have chance.
We're not going
to
move it out. We can do
it. Yeah, we're not going to move it out today. We're going to hold it. So, anyway, let's get together and with the sponsor and figure that out. So we are at the end of our time, and I do want the record to reflect that Representative Wilson had joined us, and we are adjourned.